Okay, Rabbi, we're up to Perek Vav, Pirkei Avos, Brice of Vav, which has the 48 steps that I introduced yesterday. And so we'll probably try and do just a couple of weeks. We'll have remaining in this month, three or four a day. So the first is Bisalmud, which is, I guess, the basis of everything. If you're going to achieve success in Torah, you have to learn. And you have to study. Interference. Okay. Anyway. So the first one I said, but Talmud, you have to learn. You have to study. I'm reminded once of a cartoon that I once saw. I shared it with students in high school before final exams. It's a statement of you should never confuse prayer with studying. Okay, if you're preparing for a final exam, you can pray very, very hard. You should be successful, but don't confuse prayer and studying. It's two separate domains. And the idea is that when it comes to learning Torah, obviously the first thing you have to do is learn. Okay, and it's called Talmud, but it's Limud, different versions of the text. But this entails a number of things. First of all, it requires learning, at least initially, from a teacher. From a Talmud means Limud, means learning from a Rebbe, from a teacher. Now, a teacher can be a live person. Teacher can also be a Sefer. But a person has to learn from something or someone which presents information that he would not have access to. The truth of the matter is, some suggest that the entire notion of Torah Shebaal Peh, the entire reason behind Torah Shebaal Peh, is to guarantee that you have to speak to a teacher. Let me explain what I mean by that. We know that there are many, many basic halachas, which are just, we discussed this year, in Abbas B'chol and other areas, which are barely hinted at in Psukim and the Torah. You have to figure out what it means and so on. And wouldn't it have made a lot more sense for the Torah Shebichsav to be given a little more detail, that rather than have, sometimes you have four or five dinim learned from one phrase, and so why not write everything down? Okay, the Torah would be a little heavy for Hagba purposes, but besides that reason, I think there are different reasons suggested why was there a need for Torah Shebaal Peh. But one is to make sure, and I've said this in the past, is to make sure that you would have to consult with somebody, that things are vague or things are not as clear upon initial glance. You have to consult with somebody who knows more than you and who you can discuss it with him, with whom you can discuss it. And the truth is, that's what keeps the Torah alive. I think I gave the example, which is not really a relevant example so much anymore, but because everything is digitalized, everything's online and so on. But it used to be you went into a lawyer's office, and it's still in some cases, okay, or a doctor's office, and you had a conference room on the side. It would be lined with books, okay, which the lawyers would have their cases written up going back to whenever, and there were reference books. And every single year, maybe they still print. I don't know. My wife is a nurse, used to get every year the desktop medical research, a big fat book with all kinds of information and so on. Again, I don't know if they bother publishing these today or not, because you can get it online. But again, these were books that people had, and they had in their office, and they had in their libraries and so on. And they had all kinds of cases in it. However, they were reference works, meaning that I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if Philip, you guess your father was an attorney and so on, but I don't think you'd read those books just stomp to read it. If a particular case come up, you do research and find that in the 1977, there was a case in Kansas that's similar to this case. So you have to figure out precedent and so on. There were reference books that were designed to be there to look something up. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not intend for the Torah to be a reference book. It would simply be on the shelf that if a particular question came up, then you'd go, look, we have a mitzvah Talmud Torah that requires us to learn Torah even when there's no particular case coming up. Okay, and therefore, and what's the idea of that? If the idea is to keep the Torah, what we call a Torah Chaim, that it's a living document, it's ongoing, there's discussion. Okay, and when you have someone that you have to speak to, you don't understand. I don't understand what this means. I don't understand what this phrase is getting at. What does the Torah mean by this? So you have to see what somebody says. And again, that somebody can be somebody you speak to live, and it can be somebody whose works you read in a sefer. But that's the idea of Talmud, learning from a Rebbe, learning from someone. That's what keeps the Torah a Torah's Chaim, because in his give and take, it's a living document. There's analysis, the discussion. and so on. I can't understand it without speaking to somebody else. So that's the one idea, I think, of Talmud, of exploring with a teacher, with a Rebbe, and so on. In many ways, a live person is better, but a Rebbe can be someone whose works, you study all the time, and the person's not hearing, but you study through his works, and so on, through his written works. The other idea of Talmud is that it's an ongoing procedure. Okay, it's an ongoing task. We know the Chazal tell us that you can't compare somebody learns something 100 times and somebody learns something 101 times, right? I mean, whatever, it's one more time. The answer is it's an ongoing process. Okay, there's always more to learn. There's always more to learn. And you have to be diligent and you have to be, persistent. And it's not always so easy. And of course, another idea is, we learned earlier, Ezeo Chacham Alomen Mikol Adam, a person who's willing to learn from anybody. You can always learn a lesson. You can draw an inspiration from anybody. So these are all things that I included under Talmud. And I would just conclude by noting that how do we refer to a great scholar? We refer to him as a Talmud Chacham. We refer to him as a big Talmud Chacham. He's still a Talmud. He's still a Talmud. Okay? Even the greatest posek and the greatest God outdoors is called a Talmud Chacham. Emphasis on the word Talmud, also Chacham, okay, the wise person. But Talmud Chacham means he's still a Talmud. No matter what, a person is always a Talmud. So that's step number one. Step number two is Shmias HaOzen. Shmias HaOzen means listening with your ears, okay? I mean, paying attention, okay, concentrating. Sometimes a person hears something, but he's not really listening, not paying attention, okay? This is, of course, goes back to Har Sinai. We just celebrated Shavuos. The people's response was Nasa Minishma. Okay, now the word Shema, we pointed out in the past, refers not only to hearing from an auditory perspective, but also understanding. Okay, understanding. When we say Shema Yisrael, right? I mean, that's a basic statement. Haske so Shema Yisrael or Shema Yisrael. Okay, it means to listen, but it means more than listening. Okay, it's not a matter, again, of your ears working properly. It's a matter of letting what's being said penetrate. If a person wants to accept or master Torah, you have to hear and you have to let it penetrate. And again, to concentrate, to take it in. And that gets harder and harder. I can speak now from personal experience as you get older. Sometimes you hear something and, it made a lot of sense and it was good, but then you forgot exactly what he said, right? Oh, what did I say again? Right, when you're younger, you can retain things better. But the point is to hear, with an ear towards listening. I just happened to come across it recently. Okay, and I remember the whole thing. Many, many years ago, Rabbi Schechter, Shlita, was at an NCSY Shabbaton that I happened to be one of the people running or whatever. And he had in the Shabbos afternoon, he gave an optional shiur. Okay, I still remember the shiur was about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash and so on, and things relating to the Beis HaMikdash. And I was eager to hear what he had to say. Of course, it was Shabbos, so there was no taking notes, and there was no, recording is going to be available. There was no YU Torah anyway in those days. But I wanted to hear it, and I paid attention. As he was speaking, I paid attention really to every word and kind of reviewed it. I broke it down into units in my head as I was listening. And it was the first thing he said, and the second thing. And right after Shabbos, I went and I wrote it up, okay? And I still have it. I came across it recently because it was on the back of a program from the event. It was like, I don't have any papers. I wrote on the back of the program for the event. And I was reflecting about it. I was talking about my wife over Shavuos. I was reflecting about it. I remember honestly really listening to every work. I wanted it. I was interested in the subject, and I just wanted to get it, And so that's what Shmias Ozen means. It's not necessarily easy to do. And again, for some people, it comes easier. They have a better memory and so on. But the real thing is the concentrating, concentrating on the words, hearing every word, hearing every nuance, okay? And that's the idea of Shema. And that's the idea of keeping open ears. If you remember what we said in a previous mission, right? Have a show said at the beginning in the first parak. Have a show said but some is divrayim. Okay. You have to have that thirst, you have to have that desire. That's the idea of listening, Shmias HaOzen. Actually, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama which says, in a certain sense, it says it about different things, but different places, but it says in a certain sense, the ears are the most important of all the organs, because through the ears, you can influence everything else. Through what you hear, you can influence everything else. Not otherwise, the eyes, but that's what the Gemara mentions in Bava Kamma, and that the ears talks about, okay, Ozno talks about damages to the ears and so on being significant. The third and final thing for today is Arichas Sfasayim. Arichas Sfasayim. Arichas Sfasayim, I guess, is the articulating words or verbalizing. Okay, verbalizing. The successful teacher is the one who's able to present things in a clear way. Okay, careful to use certain words and careful to use, a certain pronunciation. It's not good when people are sloppy, and I have to be honest. I've heard everyone makes mistakes. I make mistakes too. Okay, but I've heard many divrei Torah by yeshiva students, by older students, and so on, as sheva brachas or here or somewhere, and they quote a pasuk and they don't read the words properly, and it grates on the ear to me. Anyway, if you're preparing a divrei Torah, so look up the pasuk. Right, they're quoting the pasuk from somewhere else. They saw it. So they're no nekudos. But you have a pasuk, quote the pasuk properly. It's important for, in general. But besides that, okay, you have to, pronounce things. And I think to add to it, to verbally review the speech that were, or the lesson, okay. It said, I think, in the name of Chaim, that if you can't explain something clearly, then you don't really understand it clearly. And conversely, which you have to explain something clearly. I know, again, when you're preparing shiurim, you have to prepare something. I can tell you myself, better shiurim, I've given better shiurim, I've given worse shiurim in my life. When you're better prepared is when you really understand it and you have it, own it yourself, and you're able to say it over. If you don't fully understand it, you can't say it over clearly. Okay, now there's nothing to be embarrassed about. We've had times this year where I've acknowledged in the shiur that I got mixed up or I didn't understand it. I had to go over it again. I didn't have a clear tefisa. I'm not embarrassed to say it, okay, because it happens, all right? And especially when you're preparing a curriculum and so on and so forth. And then I realize as we're going through it in shiur, I didn't understand it clearly. This machlokas, I didn't have a clear tefisa on it. And that's okay, as long as ultimately you recognize that you really have to have that clear tefisa, okay? And it's also, it's interesting in poetry, okay? And forget about, I don't mean just Hebrew or Jewish poetry, in general, poetry, there are many things which are hinted at in, like an alliteration, right, or spelling and or a rhyme, that puts it together clearly, puts things together clearly. And the same thing is true in a certain way of Torah. First of all, we know that Chazal darshan things just on the basis of an extra letter, an extra word over here that doesn't fit in. That's why these things are important, because when you're dealing with actual texts, you have to know that the way the Torah said something, makes a difference. By way of an example, I gave a shiur, not on Shavuos, obviously our shuls didn't get together, but right before Shavuos, I gave a shiur in my shul on the machlokas of Kula Hashem, Kula Hashem, or Chetzal Hashem, Chetzal Hashem, and Warm Psachim, Dav Samaches, and Belezem, and Yeshua. And the Gemara says, HaKol Modim, that on Shavuos, everybody agrees you need Lachem. I'm sure we'll see in the Gemara. So the question I was analyzing, and now is not the time, what do you mean HaKol Modim? Who's HaKol? Right, just say Rabbi Lez's mode. Rabbi Yeshua has held like that by every Yantav. So I wanted to bring out that Rabbi Yeshua holds something different about Shavuos too. So I guess I'm happy to explain it to you another time. But just the idea, words make a difference. Words make, Chazal understood that words make a difference. And therefore, some people were careful, some people weren't. We know that the Rambam, we have all kinds of diukim, but the Rambam phrased it over here. He put this din over there. He presented it this way. Right, we're trained to look at the Rambam very, very carefully. Other people, others, we say were maybe not so careful with their words. You can't necessarily medayek anything, but it's important to, it's important to understand that when you verbalize something, it clarifies the thought in your own mind, and helps you remember better. Helps you remember better when you say something over, you remember it better. So these are all things, if you people who are beginning as rabbanim and so on, and they, so they I have to be honest, I don't practice my debate, my speeches. Maybe I should. I don't practice my speeches beforehand on Shabbos. Okay, I've been around for a while, but you know, when a person's first starting out, or you're going to a prabbah, you practice it out. You say it out. If you're going to go to an interview to be a rebbe or to be a teacher someplace, you know, you're going to plan that lesson very carefully, and you'll say it out. That's going to be a good lesson. Okay, you don't always have time to do it every single time, but arichas v'sayim, just as I say, verbalizing, you know, is an important process, because otherwise it's more difficult for whatever you're learning to register. Okay, and again, we don't think of it this way, but sometimes when a person goes on, a person goes over his notes, I remember, okay, sometimes studying, not just learning, but studying for a history final, whatever it is, just reading my notes and saying certain things out loud in my head, just to scream it, but just saying things, you know, in a certain way will help you remember. So these are all things which are, which are part of the first three steps of Kinyan Torah. And Bez Hashem, as I said, over the next, few weeks, we'll do more of, we'll try and go through three or four of these important steps every day. Have a wonderful day. I'll be in touch.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Philip, I want to ask you, do you have the recordings from Hilchos from Nida Shirim?
I can check. I think I do.
Are they all posted?
I think they're posted on Yitzhak Torah. I could check.
Well, they're all posted on Nida Shirim.